Higher performance bonus caps, a new language on basic pay rights for the senior executive service in President Obama's executive order are largely earning praise from the federal manager community. But other initiatives in the order are bringing up more questions than answers. John Salamone is a former executive director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, now vice president at Federal Management Partners. He tells Federal News Radio's Nicole Agresco not everything in the order is brand new.
One of the immediate provisions, streamlining the application process, I think is a really good idea, but I don't necessarily think that I've seen anything new here. And why I say that, in 2010, OPM actually issued guidance, the Obama administration issued guidance on updating SES qualifications. And in the document, OPM actually provides specific information to the agencies for using a resume-based approach to SES hiring. And in fact, that guidance was actually born out of the previous administration, where OPM ran a pilot for a few agencies testing the resume-based hiring approach. So while there's not anything new in the executive order, I think what I'm really holding out for is the guidance that OPM is going to be issuing on this particular provision in the executive order. I think they have 90 days, to issue guidance on that particular provision. The last immediate action around mobility. I don't think this is something new. It's been a long-standing challenge of the SES, and when the SES was created, the Civil Service Reform Act, one of the biggest pieces of the creation of the SES was around mobility and making sure that we had an executive cadre that could basically plug and play and move from one agency. If you can manage in agriculture, if you can manage federal programs in agriculture, you can manage federal programs at the Department of Commerce. And it's not really about being a subject matter expert, but it's more about being an executive leader and manager. And so really the origination from the SES was really around one of the key pieces of it was around mobility. And so I think the executive order asks OPM to be issuing guidelines on mobility within 45 days. And again, I think it's kind of wait and see and what guidance OPM issues. And I think the key will be trying to incentivize agencies and executives to rotate. In 2008, again, we were dealing with this issue at the end of the Bush administration, where the acting director issued a memo to the chief human capital officers encouraging the agencies to develop policies and to take appropriate actions to ensure the continuing development of senior executives, including rotational assignments. So curious to see what how OPM issues guidelines to the agencies within the next 45 days on that immediate action.
There's been a little bit of criticism about, you know, these are all great ideas, but it's not enough. Wondering what your thoughts are on that, and wondering if, you know, some people have suggested that there really needs to be a culture change within the SES, and some have expressed skepticism that this doesn't really address that. And I was wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, it's interesting because I thought the one thing that I would see in the draft, well, not in the draft, in the final executive order, one thing I would see in the final executive order was something around engagement. And, you know, if you look at the levels in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey for senior leaders, that's always one of the lowest rated groupings of items. And I didn't see anything in there about culture change or, you know, driving employee engagement. And I know that there are requirements to have employee engagement related objectives and performance plans, but, you know, something around employee engagement, I think, gets at that culture change. And quite honestly, Nicole, I mean, there are unintended consequences, and I think that there are, you know, it's good to have the provisions for awards, it's good to have provisions for pay, but are there any unintended consequences for those GS, you know, 7, 9, 11s that are working really hard that aren't seeing or aren't reaping the benefits of increased pay, there have been pay freezes? So are there unintended consequences where the executives are getting bump ups? What impact, if any, will that have on the morale of the workforce? And I think, again, great that the administration is taking these things on and taking these issues on. I do think, you know, they may be laying the groundwork for future reform. I'm not certain, and I would tend to agree with those that think this doesn't go far enough, that we probably need a little bit more reform of civil service and of the senior executive service as well.
Another piece to this executive order is the President's Management Council is going to form a subcommittee to basically, it sounds like, keep track of how well agencies are implementing this executive order. And I know that a piece of that is that some members of that subcommittee are supposed to collaborate with the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. And I know that you were very active on the Chico Council. So from your perspective, you know, what might that collaboration look like, or, you know, what kinds of conversations should they be having there?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And one of the other things that I wanted to bring up was I was a little disappointed that I didn't see more involvement from the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. I mean, if you go back and look at the statute, the law that created the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, one of the reasons that the council was created was to identify and share best practices and also talk about issues, human capital issues that agencies are dealing with and wrestling with. And I do think it's important to elevate human capital management to the very senior levels of an agency. So at the PMC level, it's important for the PMC to be talking about and be involved with human capital issues. But I do think, and I was disappointed that there wasn't more of a role for the Chief Human Capital Officers and the Chief Human Capital Officers Council in the executive order. If you look and you know and you're familiar with the PMC, you know, there's going to be a change in administration, and I'm certain that those members of the PMC are going to turn over. So collaboration in this administration may look very differently in the next administration. But I do think having the Chief Human Capital Officers involved, reporting out to the PMC on issues and challenges that they're finding with the implementation of this would be very beneficial. I'm assuming that the PMC will delegate some of this down to the Chief Human Capital Officers Council and then have the council members or some council members report back up. But I would have liked to have seen more involvement from the Chief Human Capital Officers and the Chief Human Capital Officers Council outlined in the executive order to fall in line with the legislative statute that created the council.
Now, were there any other pieces to the executive order that you were surprised to see or were surprised not to see?
One of the things that struck me is the phased implementation approach on the second part of the executive order. So those issues that include the talent management and succession planning, the recruiting individuals for SES positions, and tracking the recruitment sources and the number and quality and diversity of applicants, the executive development plans, and then establishing a formal onboarding program. So those four initiatives are going to be implemented over the next 3 years, staggered by agency. And I'm not certain why I understand that they want to stagger that other than, you know, leveraging lessons learned. But, you know, those are things that agencies can and already should be doing. So I think it's great to put something like that in an executive order to kind of force the agencies to do this, but those are good business practices and good management practices that they should already be doing. And I'm not certain, and it's not clear to me. The only other thing that I'm not clear on is that it looks like the executive order covers CFO Act agencies. And if I'm a small agency HR director or HR executive or a non-CFO Act agency, I'm probably looking at the executive order wondering if this applies to me or not and what benefit I'm going to get from this. And, you know, that may be clear in additional guidance or additional conversations that are forthcoming, but when I read the staggering in the agencies for the second portion of this, it only is covering for CFO Act agencies.
Plus, you know, there's a presidential transition in the middle of that.
Absolutely. And that is the biggest thing that I think is a challenge with the PMC being involved with this is that you do not have continuity in leadership. When you get down to the Chief Human Capital Officers, and when I was the Executive Director of the Council, the Chicos were split in terms of half were political, half were career. And I'm not certain what the split is now, but it's probably fairly close to that. But every single deputy, with the exception of one, was a career executive. And those deputy chief human capital officers were put in place to help with continuity when there was changes in leadership at the agency level and changes in leadership at the political level. So when we're in the middle of a political transition, a presidential transition, and trying to implement a phased approach to SES reform through executive order, and we have the governing board, the PMC, that's going to be turning over, how are we going to be ensuring that these things are getting done? And I do think, you know, having the council more involved with the process would really, really help with that continuity.
That's John Salamone, Vice President at Federal Management Partners and former Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, talking there with Federal News Radio reporter Nicole Ogrisco. You can share this interview with your colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.